You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was incredible. How's it going, everybody? Well, I'm pretty sure I know the answer. First things first, I'm Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with official flagship Sports Talk 790. This is Locked on Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the Rockets. Tonight was certainly a fresh start for the Rockets after a bad start in Game 3. So you know what? In the theme of fresh starts, I thought we'd try out some new intro music as well. Hope you all enjoyed that. That's the lead to a great song called All In from the Great Heights Band. They're actually listeners to us here at Locked On Rockets, so if you want more details on them, you can check out the full song and all of their music at our LockedOnRockets.com website. As to the important stuff, folks, what a night it was at Target Center in Minneapolis. The Rockets 119-100 winners, and the final score doesn't even do it justice. The Rockets led by 35 early in the fourth quarter. That's after trailing by as much as 7 midway through the second quarter. They went on a 71-30 run in less than 20 game minutes between the final 6.5 of the second quarter, all of the third quarter, and the first couple minutes of the fourth. Ended up, as I said, winning 109-100, but the degree to which they flipped it, they hit the turbonuclear button that Karthik Prasad and I discussed the other day. Just an incredible performance by the Rockets. James Harden led the way after starting 0 of 7. He finished with a game-high 36 points, plus 21 in the plus-minus. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 12 of 16 shooting. Chris Paul, 25 points, 9 of 17 shooting. Combined, those two guys, 61 points on 21 of 43 shooting. 61 points, nearly 50% shooting. 10 rebounds, 9 assists, 9 steals. Yes, they're doing it on both ends of the floor, and only 2 turnovers. Rockets, on top of being better offensively, they shot the ball over 37% from 3, nearly 44%. For the game, they only turned the ball over 6 times the entire game. So the Rockets on the road after losing a game 3, they responded with the fight that you would want them to see, led by their two big guns, Chris Paul and James Harden. Hashtag playoff CP3, hashtag playoff Harden. Suck on that for those members of NBA Twitter that were premature in the middle of a sluggish first quarter. Because ultimately, the start to this game, it came down to what problems are sustainable and what are not. That's what I've said throughout this series. Sometimes random things happen. It happens over 82 games and even over a best-of-7 playoff series. That's why they play 7 games, because they're going to be outliers. What the Rockets did in Game 3 on Saturday night, the dribble penetration Minnesota had, the ease of shots, that's concerning because that could happen again. Guys like James Harden and Chris Paul having a bad night, if those are your problems, well, ultimately, you're going to be just fine because they are great players. And the start of this game, Harden began 0 of 7. Chris Paul began 0 of 2. Well, guess what? The Rockets were still tied after the first quarter at 21 because the defense was sound. It was just a matter of waiting for those two big guns to get going along with a few shots. Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker, let's give them some credit as well. A combined 4 of 10 from behind the arc. That's 40%. Eric Gordon stepped up, 4 of 10 himself. So Trevor, PJ, and Eric, all three of those guys combined for 40% shooting. They had all been in the 20s prior to Game 4 in this series, so they stepped up. But as usually happens with the Rockets, they're led by their big guns. And if the problems are James Harden and Chris Paul, which they were in the first quarter, ultimately you're going to be fine. The difference in Game 3 versus Game 4 was that in Game 3, you had problems that were more concerning. If you're not stopping the ball, if Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose are just dominating you with dribble penetration, the Timberwolves are getting the shots that they want to get, if Karl-Anthony Towns is doing what he wants to do against Clint Capella, that's a problem. If the Rockets are generally playing solid defense, being sound in their assignments, but James Harden and Chris Paul are missing some shots, that's going to turn, and boy, did it. Just an incredible 71-30 run in less than 20 game minutes. 50-20, almost a franchise record for points in a quarter. They somehow scored 51 in a quarter back in the 80s, I believe. But just a historic run by the Rockets. If you thought the 52-20 run in Game 2 was amazing, I'll raise you a 71-30 run on the road. Just incredible what these Rockets showed. And we'll talk about James Harden and Chris Paul in the second segment of our usual 3 points recap. But to lead off, I want to hit home just how important this is for the Rockets as a team, because it's not about any individual. It's about the Rockets, number one seed throughout the year with a 65-17 record, the best team in the NBA this season, showing you in the playoffs that they are what they have been over 82 games in the regular season. And to have this kind of performance on the road, I know what happened in Game 2, but that's at home. To do it in Game 2 after five consecutive lackluster quarters on the road, an energetic crowd in Minnesota that was screaming Wolves in six after what happened on Saturday night, to flip it on a dime, that's what great teams do. Because you could draw upon that experience later in the playoffs. I know it's a cross-sport comparison, but I'm sure many of you guys here in Houston also follow the Astros and their great run last year. I think the things they showed you in those first two rounds, coming back in Game 4 at Boston after they lost Game 3, they were down 2-1 after seven innings in Game 4, Chris Sale dominating, and then suddenly flipping the switch offensively for four runs in the 8th and 9th, started with that Alex Bregman shot off Chris Sale, then in the ALCS down 3-2 to the Yankees to win both Game 6 and Game 7. That's the type of belief, the type of intestinal fortitude, and yes, I think it crosses sport lines, that gives you the belief in later rounds to build off of, so that, for example, in Game 5 of the World Series, the swing game, when the Astros were down 4-0 to Clayton Kershaw, or in Game 2, when they were down a run facing Canley Jensen in the 9th, those things didn't faze them, in large part because they drew on that experience from other rounds, not just at home, but on the road, not just in the regular season, but the playoffs. That is so important, because it's not a given that Minnesota loses Game 5. The Rockets will have a chance to close the door in this series, Game 5, on Wednesday night at Toyota Center. Yes, they absolutely should do it. They should be favored. But give Minnesota credit. They were down 35 tonight. They actually cut it to 15 at one point, outscored the Rockets by 20. Now, the Rockets certainly took the foot off the gas. The game was long over. It didn't really matter. But the Timberwolves, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, Andrew Wiggins, those are talented players. Now, their stat lines tonight, I would argue, are a little skewed, especially Karl-Anthony Towns, the 22-15 and 9-15 shooting, because a lot of those came in garbage time. But these are very talented players. The things we said after Game 3 are very true. The Timberwolves, it's not for Jimmy Butler's injury, and he certainly appears healthy now. They were on a pace to win 51-plus games, which would have made them clearly the number 3 seed in the Western Conference. So if you really want a silver lining, this, you could easily argue, and I might agree with you, if this is the toughest team outside of Golden State that you're going to play in the playoffs, and the Rockets have a good chance to close them out in 5. But it's no given. Minnesota, they're underdogs, but would it floor me if they won that Game 5? No, they are a very talented basketball team, and there are some matchup problems, especially for the Rockets without Luke Bamute to stop the penetration. What this game tonight shows you, it goes beyond just Houston and Minnesota. Yes, it helps you there, but if things ever get tight, for example, if you have to play a Game 6 in this series at Minnesota, or more likely when you play Utah, Oklahoma City, Golden State in the rounds ahead, that when things get hairy, when you're on the road, even if you're at home, for the Rockets collectively and for James Harden and Chris Paul individually, they're not going to stop fighting. They showed you, I'm not going to say the heart of a champion because that comes in later rounds, but they showed you the fight that a contender has, that a great team has. It would have been so easy after Game 3, after how ugly Game 1 was, the start of this game, when the Timberwolves didn't have a lot going offensively, but they were still tied and actually had a 7-point lead midway through the second quarter because James Harden and Chris Paul couldn't buy a bucket early on. It would have been so easy to say, well, this is just not a good environment. It's hard to win on the road, make the excuses. The Rockets did not. It was quite a statement. It gives them an opportunity to shut the door and advance in 5 games, which, when you consider the NBA playoffs, only one team, Portland, has been swept out of all of them. Everyone else has won at least a game, which shows you how difficult postseason basketball is. As I mentioned, Minnesota, much more talented than a usual 8 seed. Beating Minnesota in and of itself, 3 down, 1 to go, that's a big one. But beyond just this series, boy, does it set you up well, in my opinion, of having the belief, the confidence, the swagger that a championship team has to have in the rounds ahead. To me, this can actually be more beneficial than if, say, the Rockets had just matched up with a lifeless opponent, if Minnesota had just packed it in, said we're not good enough, and the Rockets had just swept them. You can gain. Playoff teams get better through adversity because there's no such thing as a playoff run where you aren't pushed, especially not in today's NBA with the likes of the Warriors out there. But the league is getting more and more top-heavy. You're going to get challenged. postseason basketball is hard. That's what I've said over and over again the last few days. You're going to face that at some point. So to see your first adversity, not just at home after game one, but in this case on the road, when so many folks were doubting you, an incredible electric environment in the Target Center in Minneapolis, the first home playoff games that they've had in over a decade, and to respond the way the Rockets did, I don't know about you guys, but for me, that's even better than if the Rockets had won this series 4-0. We knew what the Rockets had physically. We knew what the stats showed us over 82 games. What sometimes the stats can't show you is the mental side of the game. What's going to happen when you face adversity, when the chips are down, and the way the Rockets responded tonight, I was so impressed. Certainly James Harden and Chris Paul led the way, but up and down the roster, Clint Capella had a better game. Eric Gordon had his best game of the series. Just so many positive contributions. Trevor Ariza and P.J. Tucker shot a combined 40% from behind the arc. Just certainly a team win, and that's what I keep coming back to. Beyond any individual player, it's about what the Rockets can do as a team. And personally, I don't know about y'all, but I feel even better about the 2018 Rockets now than I did before the postseason started, and that's quite a statement for a team that had won 65 games in the regular season. Now, with team talk out of the way, let's move into the individuals. Look, James Harden started 0 of 7 in this game. You saw the hashtag playoff Hardens on Twitter. And for James to flip that switch in the middle of a game, I don't know. I can't begin to express how impressive that is. Finished with 36 points, 12 of 26 shooting, 5 of 11 behind the arc. Do the math. Take out the 0 of 7. He was 12 of 19, nearly 70% in the final three quarters of that game. That's really just the second and third quarters, because the fourth quarter, not much was required at all after they had a 35-point lead 2 minutes in. Simply incredible. And only one turnover. The same goes for Chris Paul. He started 0 of 2. He finished 9 of 17, which tells you he shot 9 of 15, 60%. He also had only one turnover. They valued possessions, just two turnovers between them in 33 and 34 minutes. Five steals for Chris, four for James. So they only turned it over twice, and they forced nine turnovers personally on the other end. James also had a block, so we can say that they individually combined for 10 forced turnovers. That's what great players do. They value the possessions, they played on both ends, and they made the shots when they had to. Just an otherworldly performance. I think what was interesting in this game, they did pick up the pace in the second half, especially when things started rolling, and I think you saw Minnesota start to get a little rattled. It was easier for the Rockets to get out in transition. But the Rockets learned a lesson. When I mentioned the start to the game, they got off to the early lead. Minnesota found a way to tie it after one. Then the Rockets' offense was really creaky. Minnesota led by as much as 7 midway through the second quarter. Rockets seemed stuck in mud at 29 points. Well, in reality, what happened, the 5 minutes or so without Harden late in the first, especially early in the second quarter, the Rockets tried to pick up the pace, and it wasn't very successful. Maybe they scored a few more offensively, it got them going, but defensively, it was difficult. P.J. Tucker did have a brief injury scare. Fortunately, he was fine. Brief knee injury, but he came back, actually looked better, in my opinion, after it somehow. Just P.J. about the toughest guy on the planet. But in this series, it's all about matchups. In these NBA playoffs, look, I'm not sure how much of a transitive property there is from one series to the next, because so much comes down to who you play, what the individual skill sets are. But in this case, the Timberwolves have so many athletes, especially with two point guards, Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose. Now, Teague did seem to injure his hand or finger. We'll see what happens. He seemed to be shaking that a lot and had just 2 points, minus 28, just 1 of 7 shooting. But Derrick Rose somehow, still MVP Derrick Rose of all things, 17 points in 32 minutes, somehow 7 of 11 shooting. But either way, those two guys, even if Teague's hand is a little compromised, they're still very quick. And so especially if you get out in transition without Luka Amute, that's where it's easier to collapse the Rockets' defense. So what I thought the Rockets did, they made a savvy adjustment. It felt like in the middle of the second quarter, they slowed the pace down, and ultimately they trusted that the offense, the shots would eventually fall. We've heard Daryl Morey call James Harden the best isolation player in the history of the game. Chris Paul is very, very good in his own right. And ultimately, in the second half, that's what got going. It wasn't that they played with pace. It was those two guys made plays often in one-on-one situations. And then because they're making plays in the half court, it gave the Rockets defense a chance to get back, and it made it easier to get stops. Now, yes, towards the end of the run, the pace did increase. That's how Eric Gordon got going, especially late in the third quarter. But when things really swung from being down 8 to somehow getting a commanding lead 15, 20 plus, the pace actually slowed because of the combination of letting Harden and Chris Paul excel in isolation, trusting that even if the shots were not there, that ultimately the sample size would even out. You trust your great players. If you go down fighting with James Harden and Chris Paul, I'm okay with that. James Harden is the MVP. Chris Paul is the point god, a clear Hall of Famer if he retired tomorrow. If the Rockets go down with those two guys failing in situations where they are typically at their best, it sucks, but I can live with that. The Rockets trusted it. Ultimately, they came around, and then because they slowed the pace, it also made it easier for them to get stops on the defensive end, and that's how the Rockets, not only did they score 50 points in the third quarter, they limited Minnesota to just 20. Now, the pace can pick up, and I think especially in later rounds, but in this matchup, without Luke and with the Timberwolves having so many playmakers, as we have discussed before, I think that higher pace comes at a risk. So you have to adjust on the fly. I thought the Rockets did that, and boy, did Chris and James respond in every conceivable way. James had the three-point stroke going. That's good, but he also had 15 shots inside the arc, made 7 of those. Of Chris Paul's 17 shots, only 5 of them were outside the arc. So 12 of Chris's 17 inside the arc combined, those two guys had 27 non-threes. That was very important in terms of, sure, they had their share of layups, but also making the Timberwolves respect the mid-range games. I thought Chris was especially good at that, and then it also made it easier because they were able to pull up and make the defense respect them shooting at any spot on the floor. It made it all the more difficult to defend them without fouling, and those two guys got to the line 11 times, made all 11 free throws. In addition to only turning it over twice, forcing 10 turnovers, got to the line 11 times, made all of those as well. Rockets as a team, 23 of 26, that's 89%. Capella even made 50% of his free throws. That's a huge improvement from 1 of 6 on Saturday night. And so the Rockets did everything that you can do from the standpoint of controlling what you can control and trusting that eventually James Harden and Chris Paul would do what James Harden and Chris Paul do. And boy, did they. They responded intelligently, and they needed to slow the pace to help the defense. They did that to make the Minnesota defense respect every inch on the floor. They probably needed to take more floaters, more teardrops, more mid-range shots. They did that. They adjusted in the middle of the game, and because they set the tone, the Rockets as a team were able to do that as well. Now, I wanted to spend the second segment discussing Chris Paul and James Harden individually, because it's tough to talk about one without the other. They both do so many of the same things, and it's so great to see both of them get going. A lot of the narratives are unfair, but until they prove it, they've got to redefine hashtag playoff CP3, hashtag playoff Harden. Could not be happier for those guys to do it on the biggest stage, especially in the same game where so many appeared to be doubting them. But they did not win this game by themselves. They might have led it, but other guys, they stepped up, the role players, Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker, I thought especially early. Those two guys for the game made 40% of their threes, but Ariza in the first quarter had 13 points. That was very big, and the Rockets surviving the early struggles of James Harden and Chris Paul, that bought them time to where they were in striking distance until things got going. If the Rockets get down 15 or 20 points in the early going, maybe they're not able to flip the switch as easily in the middle of that game. But because Trevor Ariza set a positive tone setting off, that's what you'd like veterans to do. And overall, they shot 40% from three, Ariza and Tucker. That's a big improvement. But Clint Capella, 14, 17, and 4. I know what Karl-Anthony Towns did on paper, 22 and 15. But boy, did those feel like empty calories. A lot came in garbage time. He had 5 turnovers. Again, Clint with the 4 blocks, only 1 turnover of his own. Owned the glass with 17 rebounds. I thought the other night, I mentioned the 1 of 6 free throw shooting. I think it also made him a little bit timid around the rim. Clint owned it tonight. 17 boards, and actually 13 of them came in, I believe, the first, I added up like 28 minutes of the game. Like just a couple of minutes into the second half, he was at 13 boards, according to the great local broadcast with Craig Ackerman and Matt Bullard over on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. So Clint tonight, in my opinion, even if you had the, 22 and 15 game on 60% shooting from Towns, this was much closer to game one and game two in terms of what Clint did against Karl-Anthony Towns as it was game three. It felt like Clint asserted his will. You could even see him getting the swag. Late in the fourth quarter, he had the swat of Karl-Anthony Towns and did the finger wag, the Mutombo. That's beautiful to see. That's Clint getting his confidence back. I think making a couple of free throws helped that. But in general, it's reminiscent of what happened really last year against Oklahoma City, and that Clint faced his first adversity, except it took him until getting home last year to turn it around. Game 5 against OKC, and especially the second round. Game 4 was still bad on the road. The Rockets had to lean on Nene, if you remember. That was a game he had like 28-10 on a ridiculous 12-of-12 shooting or whatever it was to win a close game on the road to Oklahoma City last year. This game, Game 4, with the Rockets up 2-1 in the first round, was completely different. The Rockets won going away, and they didn't have to lean on Nene. And Nene did play fairly well, plus 19, actually, in his 14 minutes, 5 boards. So, yes, hashtag playoff Nene still lives. But it was not just Nene. It was Clint Capella setting that tone. And it's just a continuation of growth. He's not going to be perfect, especially against Karl-Anthony Towns, who is an extremely talented player. But 14, 17, and 4... in 32 minutes, 6 of 11 shooting, improved the free throw shooting, also had 3 assists. I thought overall, the Rockets' ball movement in this game was tremendous. 20 assists as a team to just 6 turnovers. I keep saying they controlled what they could control, and that is amazing to see. Beyond just Clint stepping up, Eric Gordon did as well. 18 points, 6 of 14 shooting, 4 of 10 from behind the arc, also had a couple of assists, which was big. Early on in the game, he did hit his first three, but it didn't take until the second half before he was really taking a lot of threes. In the first half, he was driving towards the bucket, trying to make things happen to get himself going the old-fashioned way off the bounce. But overall, 18 points, 40% shooting, nearly 50%. That's the closest thing to peak Eric Gordon by far that we have seen in this series. And we have said all season long, Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, those are your variables. That's what makes the Rockets special, because as good as Chris Paul and James Harden are, the Warriors, especially if they're healthy, with Steph Curry anywhere close to, say, 80-90%, Curry, Durant, then you add in Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they can match a couple of great players individually. Where the Rockets are special and better than any other non-Harden teams, non-Rockets teams, in recent years, is the depth that the Warriors are used to playing is not the same as what the Rockets possess when they are at full strength. When Eric Gordon and Clint Capella are your number 3 and number 4 options, when you have the defensive wings, Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute, who continues to get closer with each passing day, that's why the Rockets are closer to the Warriors than any team has been. Even the Cavaliers in 2016, who beat him, let's be real, that was about LeBron James. Tip your hat to the greatest player in the history of the sport, in my opinion. In terms of overall depth of the roster, the Rockets are as close as anyone has ever been in this stretch. And that's because not just the lead of James Harden and Chris Paul, the coaching of Mike D'Antoni, the chemistry, all those things are great, but the depth beyond them, the fact that when Eric Gordon and Clint Capella are right, that guys like those, Eric, 18 points, nearly 50% shooting, 40% from 3. Clint, 14, 17, and 4. Also 3 assists, above 50% shooting from the field. The fact that these are your 3rd and 4th best players, that's when the Rockets get really special. And that's when, even against a Minnesota team that boasts a lot of great players in their own right, all of a sudden, if Eric Gordon and Clint Capella are able to somewhat neutralize those talented players on Minnesota, they don't even have to beat them. And in my opinion, Clint Capella did beat Karl-Anthony Towns again, which is just gravy in my opinion. But beyond that, if they even just hang around, then all of a sudden, the dominance of James Harden and Chris Paul can really, really stand out. And then you add to that the defense of PJ Tucker and Trevor Ariza when they're committed tonight. I thought they played more committed than ever on the defensive end after being challenged. That's great to see, what you would expect it out of veterans. Then imagine when they get Luke Bamute back, most likely at the start of next round. Take what you've seen from Gerald Green on occasion, such as Game 2. Add in Ryan Anderson, who was a non-factor tonight, but was 4 of 6 from downtown in Game 3. You add in those as what? Your 7th, 8th, 9th men, and you can see why this Rockets team, even against a historically great Warriors team, if they beat the Pelicans, if they get Steph Curry back, this version of the Rockets we saw tonight, they can compete with anybody. That's how good they are. I think it's important in terms of the team's psychology. I wanted to lead with that. Certainly it's important for James Harden, Chris Paul, their playoff legacies, getting confident in this series, getting the stroke going after Chris had a bad Game 1, James had a bad Game 2, yada yada, the team lost Game 3. And then beyond that, tonight, as great as it was about James and Chris, don't forget the depth. Don't forget Trevor and PJ being more consistent defensively and making their threes. Don't forget Eric Gordon and Clint Capella each being near the quasi all-star levels that they have been at times this year when they're at their best. This was as close to a team performance as you could hope for. I've seen a lot of folks saying, even in game two, now I thought the criticism of game two was largely unwarranted because by and large, the Rockets went on a 52-20 run in that game, won by 20 plus, could have won by 30 if not for calling off the dogs late. I thought generally the Rockets played well. Harden just shot 2 of 18, which was uncharacteristic. That I said, if James Harden is your problem, you're going to be fine because he's eventually going to find himself. He's the MVP for a reason. And so if you look at the shooting percentages, even though they were a little low in the 30s, well, you take away Harden's 2 for 18, and overall, it was close to a team win. But even that one, I'll accept it's at home. You want to see what championship-level teams are made of on the road. And so to see the Rockets, not just Chris and James, but overall throughout the roster, have this kind of showing. This was the closest thing to a complete game the Rockets have had in weeks, and to see them do it when the pressure is at its highest on the road, even after a slow start, like I said, I feel better about them now than I did when this series started. Because, yeah, when this series started, they look great on paper. But what defines championship teams isn't just paper. It's what happens when the chips get down, what happens between the years, and for the Rockets to show that level of fight, that level of ability to go through adversity and come out on the other side better than ever. That's what great teams do. Don't know how to say it any better than that, so I will leave things right there. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for listening to me here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the NBA's best basketball team. If you want more coverage from me, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. We're also going to email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Got a Facebook, facebook.com/lockedonrockets, and a website, lockedonrockets.com. Always, you can read our content, reach out to me with questions about the team, suggestions for the show. Going to be an advertiser because we've got a great audience with the Rockets playing in the playoffs this well. All of those are avenues you can get in touch with me. Again, Twitter, email, Facebook, the website. We'll love to hear from you if there's any way we can make this show better for you as a fan, you as a businessman. Anything we can do at Locked On Rockets, I would love to hear from you. Also, we've got a great network here at the Locked On Podcast Network that includes the Timberwolves, hosted by Colton Molesky, Locked On Timberwolves, as well as the other 14 teams. Sorry, Portland, still left in the playoffs, or other 13 teams. Sorry, I messed that up. Tried to lob an insult at Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and somehow it didn't work, but you guys knew what I meant. All of those teams include, and also the NFL, lots of MLB teams, not the Astros yet, but we're working on it. Lots of great shows across the Locked On Podcast Network, so iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you listen and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. By the way, if you haven't done that, hint, hint, do that. Subscribe, leave us 5-star reviews. That's how we remain financially viable, especially to prospective advertisers. But yeah, wherever you listen to us, look for those other shows across the NBA, NFL, and even some MLB teams, and you can find those as well. It really is a great resource for content, especially in the middle of the NBA playoffs. So for tonight, one final time, the happy, happy final from Target Center in Minneapolis. Rockets 119, Timberwolves 100. Rockets up 3-1 in the series with a chance to close it out in Game 5 at Toyota Center on Wednesday. Before that game, I will try and hook you guys up with an interview-based preview. Stay tuned. I'm not sure if that'll be Tuesday or Wednesday, but I'm working on it. And then, of course, after it's over, we'll have our usual post-game coverage right here at Locked On Rockets, the home for regular season and especially playoff coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.